And I've read this verse, as you have, over and over and over again. And it's a verse that grips my heart. You know, back in 1980, I became a soul winner. I came out of the Southern Baptist Convention in 1980, and we moved our membership there to Liberty Baptist Church. I was saved. My wife, there in Effort of Pennsylvania, here right here in the state of Pennsylvania, my wife got saved. My children got saved. I got involved in a ministry called the Bus Ministry, amen, and was in that ministry for years. And God used that in my heart to bring people to Christ. First little girl I had the privilege to win to the Lord, she had just, folks, listen, I'm a little, I'm not really perfected yet, amen. I'm on my way, and God's working in my heart, but I get a little rough every now and then. She got sick. She got nausea, amen, and she was a Puerto Rican girl, so she wound up having her breakfast and her dress in her lap, amen, and so you can envision that. I won't really explain all of it. But anyway, God broke my heart. There was a man on the bus, and he said, listen, you need to tell that little girl about Jesus. And about that time, she upchucked. And I'll never forget as long as I live, because God stirred my heart and showed me that people need God. People need Christ. I was brought up in a Baptist church in L.A., that's Lower Alabama. And they taught us, Sister Gina, they taught us that black people don't have a soul. And I don't believe that now. I believe they need God just like anybody. And I believe God loves them just like he loves us. And I see this verse, and I read it, and every time I read it, it breaks me. Why do the heathen rage? You know, when I think about somebody enraged, my father was a drunkard. My dad, one time, man, don't get the wrong idea. I love my dad. But one time he just came apart and whipped us all with a belt and just for spilling soup. And my mother got involved and he whipped her too. And that's my background. And bless God, God saved me. Saved my dad. Saved my mother. Saved my brother. My brother died a year ago serving God in Mexico. And I'll never get over it. How God could reach down and save somebody like me. Folks, why do the heathen rage? They don't have what you've got. They don't have what I've got. They don't have direction. They don't have a compass. They don't have a map. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a church, bless God. They don't have a people to love them. And so they rage over that. Why do they imagine a vain thing? Why do they imagine there is no God? Why do they think there's no one that cares about them? Because they don't know, and they need somebody to tell them. And you know, so many times we get into churches, at least we have, and I know other missionaries have, and they don't have a heart. You see, and I hear about the many people that go out and will go out this Saturday, and they'll knock on doors and they'll try to reach people. But I know that if this church is like any other church, there are many people that do not go in comparison to those that do go. And I wonder if that's not why the heathen rage. They see us as hypocrites, and that's a vain thing. We know that that's not the truth, but I understand that, you know, when 90% of modern-day Christians, people in independent Baptist churches, have never one time witnessed, it's an incredible thing to think about. And I think about this thought, and I know this is a messianic chapter of the Bible, of Psalms, but I know that verse 8 is applied to our Savior and as the Messiah, but I also look at it, and I apply it to the Great Commission. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with ye always, even in the end of the world. And I see that thing, And I know that God will not give us a command. He's not a cruel God. He'll not give us something to do that we cannot do. And he expects us to get it done. But I wonder about this idea, why? I think the Bible, when God asked the question, why, it's not because he does not know. He knows the reason why. But he wants you and I to reflect upon the why. He wants us to ask ourselves the question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know, we go down into Mexico several years ago when God burdened my heart. Yet the thing that was bothering me is I see the Great Commission, go ye therefore. And I was waiting for God to say, go you Bill, go Bill, go Bill. And he never named my name one time. But I had to get a specific area. I had to get a place. And since I was a little shirt-tail kid, I believe God wanted me to be a missionary. And I was 27 years old when I got involved in an independent Baptist church and had a pastor that would encourage me and kind of give me direction. But I needed that to understand that God wants all of us to go. Every time you go out of the doors of this church, you're going into the mission field here in this part of the world. But did God give you permission to stay here in this area? I want you to think about that tonight. God wants us to go where we're be going, like our brother said last night, I being in the way. Amen. You've got to be doing something, so you do it here, and God will show you, give you direction and pinpoint things and help you. But could it be that the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing because we as God people are not convinced about some things? Maybe we're not convinced that the heathen are lost. Maybe we think some folks, not all of you, but maybe there's some people here in this church and in other churches that do not believe that the heathen are lost. Maybe they do not believe that the heathen are living without hope in God like we have hope. Maybe they don't believe that the heathen are lavishing and are languishing in sin and degradation. You know, down where we're at several years when we went down to Chihuahua, that's not a dog. It is a dog, but it's a state in the country of Mexico. We went to Chihuahua and we were back in a little place called Guerrero, which means warrior. And we're back in this place, and we had just been in a village and handed out scripture, John and Romans, like you folks were collating today and putting together. And we handed out this scripture, and a priest came into that village and took away the scripture and burned it, made a bonfire and burned the scripture. We saw people putting the scripture in their pants, and the men in their blouses, the women. And I begged God. I said, Lord, send somebody to help these people. Send somebody to preach the word of God to these people. And you know what? God has never spoken to me in an audible voice, but it was like the God of heaven said to me, how can you ask me to send somebody to do something you do not want to do? And folks, listen, this is true. I used to have a bus route in Lancaster when we lived in Ephrata. And it was great to get on the bus and go down to Lancaster and win people to Christ and bring them to church. But going there on State Street to my neighbors, that was another thing. And you know, the heathen, you know, my neighbors there, they were wondering when I was going to get around to them. That little place there in Mexico where we went, Brother Carlos Demarest told a story of a woman who was over 100 years old, got saved. And the next morning she's asking everybody, where is my father, where's my mother? And everybody's thinking she's a fry short of a happy meal, amen. And so anyway, she's saying, where's my son and my daughter? And you know, we come to the realization she's outlived all these people. And then with tears in her eyes, she's saying to us, why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you come before? Folks, listen, that kind of stuff gets you mad. You know, our folks, when they come to know Christ, the people that we have, you know, a lot of them, when they start finding out, our people tell you, hey, we've learned more about Roman Catholicism since we've been saved than we ever knew while we were in the Roman Catholic system. And they find out how close they came to hell when the priest stands there and he calls Almighty God down from heaven and turns him into a wafer. And the Bible tells us when Jesus is going to come back. And it doesn't say that he's going to come back in the form of a wafer. It says that he's going to come back in the clouds. And so this guy stands up, and in all over Mexico, thousands and thousands of times, he's calling God down from heaven. And the people are eating God. And it's an incredible thing. And so our people get mad at that. And they come to realize the truth. And they realize that before they were, now they're righteously indignant. But before they were raging, they could not fill the void that God had put there naturally. And they tried to fill it just like they do here by religion. And maybe the people rage just because we don't really believe that they're lost. You know, I've done a lot of visitation here in Pennsylvania. And it's one thing to go downtown Beaver Street in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then go there in Ephrata on a street where there's a $200,000 home. Guy's got an Escalade sitting in the garage. He's got a Lincoln Continental. He's got a boat. He's got all these different things. And you walk up to his house, and you say, well, maybe he's okay. Well, he's not. He's lost without God. He needs somebody to tell him. He needs us to tell him. He needs you to tell him. He needs me to tell him. And so we need to be spontaneous witnesses. We don't need to wait for Saturday, folks. We need to do it everywhere we're at. I went today, and I've got a particular kind of a car. They call it a Dodge, amen. I call it demon-possessed. And I thank the Lord for it because it keeps me close to God. And I was offered a new car the other day, and I don't have that happen every day. But the guy said, listen, we'll get you a new car. I said, I don't want it. He said, man, I've never known anybody turn down a new car. I said, I don't want it. I don't need it. I want what I got. That's the secret of happiness, folks. Wanting what God's gave you. Wanting what's yours, what you have right now. I don't want something else. I want what God has given me. He gave me that car. And I thought it was all blessing. He uses that car to ride the rough off of me, buddy. Half the time we've been here, I have to unplug the battery and step on the brake, rub my belly and touch my head so that the thing will cancel out its codes so I'll get it to go forward. That thing does great in reverse, amen, but sometimes it don't want to go forward. So I went to York today, and I got a computer for it. It's got three. Amen. I don't know why. I don't even know what to do with the first one. But anyway, I got another computer, and it's doing a little bit better now. But I was talking to a lady in there. And I love these tracks you got back here, brother. It says, thank you. And I said, I'd sure like to start an account with you folks. I'm always running into problems, always needing parts. Put in a new transmission, bought it from them last year. But anyway, I said, I'd like to start an account with you folks. She said, where do you live? I said, Mexico. She said, well, I don't, Mexico, Missouri? I said, no, Mexico, Mexico. And she said, well, I don't know if we got any places down there in Mexico. I said, I don't think you do, ma'am. She said, oh. And she called on the Lord. And I said, ma'am, you shouldn't be talking about somebody, the only one that can save you like that. And I began to witness to her. And I began to weep. And I think she didn't know what to do with me. There's people around us. Folks, I don't know. Listen, I don't know how people tell you how to do things. I was taught where you go up and you see if they got any toys laying around. You start to make small talk, talk about you've got kids, like your garden. I just never have been able to do that. I just jump in with both feet. Amen. And see how it comes out. And, you know, sometimes I start blubbering, and I did today. And she said, I don't know how to help you. I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I'm not asking you to help me. I'm asking you to let him help you. You're the one that needs the help. And she did let me preach to her. In fact, she even asked me to come over to the side of the room there and began to talk to her. Said, I'm going through a hard time. My husband's left me. Went off with a guy that... I went off with a man and not a woman. Amen. It's tough when a guy leaves a woman for another woman, but when he leaves a woman for a man, folks, listen. That's to me. I didn't know quite what to say about that. I said, but Jesus got the answer.
and he wants you to be saved, wants you to know that he's the only one that can help you. Why did the heathen rage?
Well, maybe they rage because we think, well, they're okay. Maybe they heard it someplace else. Listen, if God puts you in contact with somebody, he wants you to talk to them. Wants you to help them. Everyone, God wants to use everyone in this room. And I know that's what gets preached from this pulpit. Amen. And so maybe it's just the fact that we're not convinced that the heathen are lost, that they're living without hope and of God. They're languishing in sin. You know, we see people walking on their knees. We've got a place called El Roto Cristo. We got another place further down from that in Guanajuato, and they have up on the top of the mountain, the people have to drive for probably 45 minutes to get up there, and they have a polished pathway that goes up to a big Christ, a giant statue of Christ, and it's all polished, and somebody goes in front of them and shakes sand out on the pathway, and you see these old people walking on their knees, and their knees are bloody as they hurt their knees walking on that sand, and they think that God is pleased with that. See, they got an account system going. It's not the finished work of Christ that counts with them. It's doing things, all kinds of things. You walk up to them and start preaching, they'll add a prayer to all the things they've all done and still not get saved. Because it's not the prayer, it's Christ that's saved. And you got to throw yourself at him whole hog in a biscuit, totally, completely. And it's not a thing that you got to beg him. He wants to save. But you got to come to him completely. And folks don't understand that. You know, I was talking to this young lady, and she believes in co-redemption. You say, well, is she a Catholic? No, she's Pentecostal. You know, she said to me, I'm doing my part. You know, I'm doing my part. I think I'll make it. I'm doing my part. No, that's co-redemption. That's just like Catholics in Mexico. They believe that it's Mary and Jesus. And you talk to Pentecostals and they'll say, well, I'm trying. No, it's not we're trying. It's he already did it. All you got to do is believe in what he's done. Trust in what he's done. So maybe the heathen are raging. Maybe the people imagine a vain thing because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And you know what your job and my job is? To find living quarters, habitations for the Holy Spirit of God. What a wonderful thing, brother. Man, I tell you, I see these assistant pastors and Pastor Chris, Pastor Star, and man, they're excited about God. I like that, man. I like to get around people because I'm kind of boring. I get a little dull, and I get a little beat up sometimes. And I like to get fired up, but you know what? I know pretty soon that's all going to wear off. And where am I going to get my spark from? From that book and from the same Holy Spirit that gave them their desire to serve God. But maybe it's just the fact that the heathen rage simply because we're not convinced. Maybe they rage because we are not compelled. You know, I want to be somebody who is compelled. Not only convinced, but compelled. You know, compelled by their situation. The sight of them. The sight of this. What they have. The struggle. Their plight. Their strife. Their fight. And you know what? I'm selfish. You say, brother, we support you. We'll drop your support. I'm just being honest. We baptized a lot of folks in the first couple of years that we were in Mexico, and then we found out they were not getting saved. I don't want to baptize lost people. Your Bible says, just like our Spanish Bible, they got saved first, and then they got baptized. Well, folks, they were telling me they were saved. They had the right answers in a way, but then when we studied the Scripture, it didn't add up. They didn't understand when they called on the Lord. So we kind of backed up because why? We're gonna answer to God one day. And we started reevaluating everything in our ministry, and God broke our hearts. And you know, sometimes, now I'm giving a little tell here, sometimes missionaries, no doubt, are used of God, no doubt, in a great way, and that's in spite of us.
It's because we have a great God. But you know, many times, God uses the people in my life to help me, I think, in some ways, as much as I ever helped them. You look at Moses and why he didn't get to go over into the promised land. He let the people frustrate him. Amen. He got mad. He did something he shouldn't have done when he struck the rock like he did. And he didn't get to go over into the promised land, which is a picture of the abundant Christian life. It's not a picture of heaven. He didn't miss out on heaven, but he missed out on all of what God had for him. I want all that God has for me. Every bit of it. Do you want all of it that he has for you? You know, I get in some places, and even in Mexico, I get in places, and people kind of fold their arms. You know, I forgot to turn this thing off. Brother, I'm sorry. Bless God, we don't even have none of these down there. Brother, Brad said it'd blow me up if I pushed on it too hard, so I guess I kind of forgot about it. But, you know, I get in places where they invite me to come, and I don't know why, but they just they want me to come and preach. And so I get in these places, and I not long ago I got to preach in a little place about like as long as this, had windows on the side, and people were standing on the outside of the building, and God just gave me liberty to preach, and I preached my heart out. Been praying, fasted. I think we fasted 10 days and asked God to bless those meetings. We fasted before we came up here. That's the reason why I'm so fat. I love to eat, and when I get done fasting, man, I don't know how to get back at it. Amen. I can't quit. But I was preaching, and I'm telling you, you don't know how it is, brother, when you got folks hanging inside windows looking at you inside. And God gave me liberty to walk up to people. And I walked up to an old lady hanging in the window. I said, "Ma'am, you know you're not saved. You know you need Christ. You know you need God." And I thought the lady ran off. I thought she took off. I thought she got mad at me. And just a little while longer, she comes walking in the back of the church and walks down the aisle. Got saved. God is doing some things, folks. And He's doing them here. It starts here. Starts with you. But we need to be compelled. Not in the sense that we let this thing wear out, but we need to remember that it has to last not just until we walk out the door, but it's got to get us at home. It's got to get us through the night. There are times God wakes me up. And man, me and my wife, you know what's wonderful? Is when you and your wife have a relationship. That's my prayer warrior. One of them, she's my prayer warrior. Last night, we were talking early in the morning. Couldn't get over what God is doing here. Don't let it get old. Don't let it get old. Don't underestimate what God wants to do for you. But could it be that the heathen rage because we're not compelled by the sight of the lost and dying? You know, we look around, we see people that have things, and we drive by them all the time. But we're not compelled by the lostness of our folks around us right here. But these people are just as lost here as they are in, how do you say that again, Mogambia? I can't even talk or say it, man. Just as lost as they are down in Mexico. As lost as they are in Portugal. They're lost and they need God. And we go by them every day. Brother Champion told us years ago in our Bible college, he said, you know what, a missionary is someone who cannot tolerate the footprints of someone who walks by on their way to hell. It's all missions, folks. Soul winning is just missions out yonder someplace. That's what missions is. It's soul winning out yonder someplace. But you got to start here. I being in the way. And you know, this thing of being compelled. Are you compelled? If I were to ask you, are you going to be here Saturday for visitation? You say, well, brother, I got to work. A long time ago, I said, Lord, every time I say I got to work, or I got to do this or got to do that, I am saying I got to do something more important. You say, well, brother, listen, some people have to work so you can be supported where you're at. Listen, folks, I see the time. You know, I see the tithe. I see all of these different things we see in the Bible, even the Old Testament, and where God said rest one day out of the week. All of it was a matter of building our faith. Faith promised missions. God wants to build our faith. He wants to teach you and me how to trust Him. Amen. Not trust the boss. Not trust the guy that employs us. But maybe we're not compelled. Maybe we're not changed by the call of God. Are you looking, you young people, are you looking for some, I don't know, some lightning bolt to hit you and that resembles or makes up the call of God on your life? I see this thing in the Scripture, and He says, go. Is this Bible not for all of us? Every word, every bit, every saying here is for us. For me, for you, I know there are scriptural applications, but we need to understand that this Word of God is for us as individuals. God wants to speak to you. Years ago when I said, Lord, call somebody, send somebody. And He made me realize, He said, listen, why do you expect me to call somebody to do something you won't do? I said, Lord, I'll do it. But do you know what my second excuse was? Lord, I'm 40 years old. How am I going to learn to speak Spanish? When my pastor decided to help us go this is what we knew God wanted us to do. He sent us out, got us some meetings. First pastor said, brother, we'll have you come. You come. We'll preach you, we'll give you a love offering, we'll help you, but we can't support you. Well, I want to know why. He said, you're too old to learn the language. You know what? I'm not going to say his name, but I thank God for that man. I'm not from Missouri, amen. But I'll tell you what, every time, and I still do it, there are times I go home on a Sunday night and I think, how can these people listen to me? How can they put up with me? But God has used somebody that came from the first time I ever preached, I read it, and I told the people, brother, I told them, I said, listen, I'm embarrassed I didn't come sooner. And I tried to tell them, Spanish-size it. Instead of saying, tengo vergüenza, I said, I'm embarazado, I'm with child. I'm pregnant. And they were kinder, much kinder to me than you are. They didn't laugh. Amen. They didn't laugh, but when I said it the third time, they about fell out of their seats. And I was ready to go back up to Pennsylvania. You know, people don't want to know what you know until they know that you love them. In that same church, we have to roll up the building is one of the first places we started. Had to roll up had garage doors. I can't explain it. Just roll up the door, and it's like a garage door. Had two of them. You probably get about 60, 70 people in there. And when I give the invitation, reading a sermon, only been in Mexico 3 months, reading a sermon. I had a sermon called Siete Cosas Indispensables. 7 indispensable things. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without faith, you can't please God. Simple things. Gave the invitation. Guess where the altar was? Those big bay doors. They were on the sidewalk. Man, there's people out there getting right with God on the sidewalk. Kneeling down on the sidewalk. Your dad come over to Jesus Maria, Jesus Mary. Second work, the first work, we kind of started both these things at the same time. And it's just a tarp over the building, between two buildings pulled over. And in the rainy season, we don't get rain like they do there in Africa, but they've got two seasons in Mexico, and we call it the dry season and the dry season. Amen. And so when we do get rain every now and then, it really rains. Gully washer. Amen. And the water comes in there, and we'd get 2-3 inches of water.
and give the invitation, and those people would come and kneel down and get right with God on their knees in 2 or 3 inches of water. I'll never be able to come. People ask me, I've had two churches, and they, I don't know why they'd ever even ask, but they said, "Brother, listen, we need a pastor. Would you think about, pray about coming back?" I said, "Brother, you don't want me. You don't know me. You don't want me. If I came, it'd ruin you. You put Ichabod over the church. God has called me to where I'm at, and I'll never leave." I don't understand, folks. I know people all over the country that God has called them, and they won't do it. They won't leave. They won't go. They won't get. I don't get that. I don't get that. I don't see that. I don't understand that. The God of heaven, He's made it plain. Why don't we want to get up and do what He wants us to do? We don't have to have it written in the sky. All we got to do is do it. Brother Darrell Champlin, again, his mother raised all her boys, got up, went to the mission field, 60 years old, went to Portugal, learned the language, and stayed there, I think, until she died. Folks, listen, there are so many people that have died someplace. We're not looking for our names to be well known. We're looking for the God of heaven to be well known. We're looking for Him to be well known. Young people, would you surrender? Would you give yourselves to God? Would you say, "Oh God, I volunteered"? I'm going to tell you the truth. I volunteered. As of today, I have never heard God speak to me in an audible voice. But I know that God has me where He wants me. And there's sometimes I look at my people and I say, whoa unto you all. Pitiful that you don't have anybody better than me. And I weep with them. And I beg God to help them. And sister, God's got something wonderful for you. And you know you've had a taste of it. And I'm 19 years on the other side of it. And I'm begging the Lord to give me more. I want more. We've had all kinds of physical problems. My diet, my wife almost passed away six, seven years ago. And we want more. We know that was just a postponement. But we know this too. God's in charge. He's in control. Are you convinced? Are you compelled? Are you changed? I'm changed. You know, I got a message I used to teach in children's church. What is a missionary? A little girl came up and said, "Brother, what's a missionary?" Got it out of Acts chapter 13. A missionary is a sent one. A missionary is a lent one. A missionary is a bent one. And a missionary is a spent one. Amen? You know what? You lend something. Have you ever lent any tools, Brother Brad? Man, a lot of times they don't come back the same. Bless God, sometimes people misuse them. You know what? Missionaries don't come back the same. Our brother there in Africa. "Ooh, brother, I don't know how you do it. Good job, man. I want to go down there." Our brother there in Portugal, he showed them slides the other night. He don't want to be here. He wants to be there. That's where God called him. "I want to be in Mexico." We've never come back for a full furlough. But I told my wife today, I said, if we could come back for a full furlough, I'd come back and I'd beg Brother Starr to take me under his wing. And I'd just come here and come to church and I'd serve God right here and get my batteries charged and learn from the man of God. I'd do that. Do that joyfully. Amen. But I don't think I'm ever going to have that luxury. And I pray for your second man here. Pray for your deacons. And folks, I believe every time you walk out the door, if you'll have that desire to do it here, I can't help but believe that someday, because there's so many places that don't have anything, someday, just like our sister, God's going to single out more people from this work and send you out from this work.
My prayer has been for the last 3 weeks that God would call somebody, that He'd make it real to them. Some young man, some young girl that say, I want to marry a missionary. I want to marry somebody that's going someplace. My daughter is not wed. She's not. She's single, and I'm not taking applications. Amen. But she has said in her heart, I'm not going to marry anybody unless God sends me a missionary. God has not sent her a missionary. Maybe her dad's the missionary that God sent her. I don't know. But she is content. She's not holding down the fort. I believe what Pastor said. She's keeping the home fires burning in our home. But we want to start a church in our where we live. And when we've been there for several years, and we couldn't even get people to say hello. And the other day she had 30, what was it, sweetheart? 43 people in a garage, kids, and got a chance to share Christ with them through puppets. And we want to start a church in that place where people wouldn't even say hello to us. And we've got several of those people coming to church on the third traffic circle now. And God, sometimes it takes time. We're not seeing thousands call on the Lord, but we're seeing what God's doing. And God's blessed. I told you, Pastor, today, sometimes I feel like a failure. Brother McClear, sometimes I do. Sometimes I feel like, what in the world? But then I get a little coloring page from some little girl, Mount Zion Baptist Church. Some church that supports us. And I say, bless God, boy. I'm not going to quit. God's on our side, folks. And we can do it if we'll just let Him help us. Pastor's going to come, but I want you to pray and ask the Lord to be thorough with you. Lord, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with my finances? You know, if God's got your heart, He'll have your finances. You need to think about those folks in Egypt when the tabernacle was built. And Moses said, God said, bring these things. You know, they had them when they were in Egypt. They got them from the lost community there in Egypt. You know, you folks, a lot of you work for somebody that's lost. Amen. God wants to show you this week what He wants you to give above and beyond what you've already given. God's using this conference. We had a missions conference in our home church 2 weeks ago. And God's still using this conference. I already decided what God wanted us to give in our home church in Faith Promise Missions. And since the other day, God's already speaking to my heart, saying, you can give a little bit more. You can do something else. Folks, listen, when you're dead and you're gone, it's not going to matter what you've got now. Peter said, Lord, not so, when He was going to the cross. And Jesus said, you've offended me. Why? You savor not the things that are of God. We want to hang on to things when we need to hang on to God and trust Him.